This is a weekend edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. 2002 was a year of codes blue, yellow, and orange, as the war on terror seemed to draw a new bead. There were some apparent victories in this war, scattering the al-Qaeda network in Afghanistan as a new government took hold there. But terrorism won some rounds, too, with new attacks against civilians in Bali, Moscow, and Mombasa. The U.S. economy continued to sputter while corruption scandals continued to spatter the integrity of the stock market. Yet government spending on security and the military rose as the Department of Homeland Security was approved, and the U.S. prepared for possible military action in Iraq and, within time, perhaps North Korea. Dan Shore joins us to review not just the news of the week, but the year. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Scott.
And do you have an assessment for the year overall?
Well, in a sense, you gave the assessment. Most of the news of the past year has been downbeat news. I'm not satisfied with this whole millennium so far, if I have to tell you the truth of the matter. The first year of the millennium, 2001, we had September 11th, that disaster. And what have we had in the past year? In the past year, we've had a sense of if the first year of the millennium gave us a sense of vulnerability, the second year has given us a great sense of some of our most sacred institutions that we don't have confidence in anymore. We don't really trust the government. We know that the American people don't like their press very much. Now they also have found that they can't trust the Catholic Church. And finally, even the most sacred institution of all, business, has let us down.
Let's go through some of these items one by one. At year's end, over the course of this past year, the United States and United Kingdom seemed to make Iraq number one in that axis of evil. At least the one to be dealt with first.
Which I've never exactly understood and understand even less as we come to the end of the year. Because as we come to the end of the year, there is this obsession with Iraq, which may or may not, we're not exactly sure yet, have weapons of mass destruction. And there is North Korea, which says it has weapons of mass destruction, is throwing out the atomic inspectors and says they want to really talk to the United States. And if the United States says, oh, well, that's really too bad about your having weapons of mass destruction, we're not going to talk to you as long as you have them. And anyway, we're very, very busy with Iraq. I don't understand that world.
Over the past year, there's been great suffering continuously in the Middle East.
Yes.
That being said, Israel's entering a new round of elections. There's going to be a leadership conference for the Palestine National Authority in London in January. Are Israel and the Palestinians any closer to any kind of resolution? My gosh, what a phrase.
Right.
are they closer to any kind of resolution?
Well, not visibly so. This has been a bad year where, again, things have gone downhill. A year ago at this time, there was some hope that the United States would help to provide them with a Palestinian state in return for peace. There was something called a peace process, which had begun some years ago in Oslo and then broken down, but they thought perhaps they could revive it. Now the peace process, so-called, for all practical purposes, is dead, and they have to find a way of starting some other kind of peace process.
Let me ask about some of the instances of terrorism of the past years. As we recounted them, there were bombings in Bali and Mombasa, where radical Islamic groups were believed to be responsible. Chechen rebels took over the theater in Moscow. The Russians stormed in, but most of the victims, in fact, seemed to be struck down by some disabling narcotic that the Russians sprayed in.
If there's anything like good news in this naughty world, it must have to do with terrorism. Now, what is the good news with regard to terrorism? There have not been any big and important episodes of terrorism on our soil. The United States, as a country, was generally spared. And that may mean that after we had unloaded so much on the FBI and the CIA for not having sufficient intelligence to know what was going to happen on September 11th, maybe they did get their act together again. Maybe they did prevent some things from happening.
If Osama bin Laden is, in fact, still alive, and there was the emergence of an audio tape, at least, that in the minds of some expert analysts seemed to suggest that he was, is that fact merely an embarrassment, or does it hold the potential for reorganizing his terror network?
Well, it's clearly an embarrassment if the president, in his own ways, talks about dead or alive, I want them the way we talked about these things in Texas, and if he has stopped talking, he has not mentioned the name of Bin Laden lately. Mm-hmm. I suspect that must be because it is an embarrassment. You can't say we're going after this guy and we're going to get him, and 15, 16 months later, you're not even sure if he's dead or not, except there's increasing belief that he is alive. In Afghanistan, had they been a little bit smarter, they might have found him. So, yes, this is an embarrassment.
As you note, no terrorist attacks on the soil of the United States, but for a period of a couple of weeks in Washington, D.C., there was a kind of siege of terrorists. People were killed by sniper attacks.
Yes.
In fact, they might be responsible for more in other states.
Homegrown terror. I mean, we don't have to go abroad. There's something in this age where you find two people, a man in his 40s and a younger one, and together they managed to terrify an entire region during this past year, if not the entire country.
They have been charged.
Well, you're not supposed to say they're guilty because they have not been found guilty, but they are suspects. They are suspects of murder on a very large scale, and they really did instill a sense of fear that sort of went in a little shudder all over America because you never knew who was going to be next. It was such random violence.
At this point, we often talk about politics, but this year the controversy over the Roman Catholic Church's treatment of priests who've been accused in years past of child abuse cost one cardinal his job so far and
right.
angered much of the Catholic laity.
And imagine when you see a headline that says that the Catholic Church may go into bankruptcy. How can a church go into bankruptcy?
I think that's just, at least as far as we know, just the Boston Archdiocese.
If just they had the to Boston Archdiocese, right,
claims,
and it hasn't happened yet, and it is a possibility only. But how is it possible that in this day and age? Now, there are believers still. The question now is, was their belief somewhat misplaced? If you have a hierarchy which appears to have spent more time and energy trying to save itself than to do something for the victims of pedophilia, you have to begin to wonder.
Midterm elections were certainly a victory for the Republican Party. They will control the White House, the Senate, and the House of Representatives. But they lost their majority leader, Trent Lott.
That's right. This wasn't a quite unusual election. Normally, in an off year, you expect the opposition party to gain seats. In this case, the president went out to 15 states, campaigned very vigorously, and furthermore, apparently his campaigning worked for the Republican Party. The result is they come back now, and this year they start by controlling the two houses, the two chambers of the Congress. But as you suggested, this was also the year when the one who was about to become the majority leader lost that because he made the kind of mistake that you have to wonder about, the idea of sort of nostalgically looking back to a segregationist era and saying it would have been better had Strom Thurmond been elected. You wonder how that's possible, but Congress will get through that, the administration will get through that, and we'll have to face up in the coming year to all the things that had to do with compassion for poor people, that had to do with building a new kind of government department which would take care of our internal security, all of that. And they have a big, big roster of things facing them which they did not do in the past year.
A year ago, President Bush was considered popular among the American people,
the
beleaguered young president trying to do his best in confronting a new and terrible challenge. This year, he's a president who's won a majority in Congress. He got a favorable vote out of the U.N. Security Council on Iraq. And despite economic reverses, he's seemingly perceived as a very effective political leader by many Americans.
That's true. Americans have come to like him and respect him, and in the end, even to admire him, which they didn't always at first. And that has to do, in the first place, with the fact that he is a war leader. The war on terrorism isn't like other wars, but he is a war leader. Americans tend to rally around their commander-in-chief in time of war. That gave him a big thrust as he started. But then there he was, constantly on television, which he did an awful lot, consoling, inspiring, and he's sort of got elected this past year. He wasn't quite elected. Well, we know that he wasn't quite elected 2 years ago, but now it's somehow Americans have come to be on easy terms with him.
And, of course, the economy. Corporate scandals spread far beyond Enron. United Airlines has declared bankruptcy. McDonald's posted its first quarterly losses. Layoffs, of course, have struck all over the United States, and now President Bush has changed his economic team and perhaps the administration's economic policies?
Well, perhaps. When we find out what the economic policy is, all we know about the economic policy is that it's built on the idea of stimulus. You cut taxes, and that's supposed to stimulate the economy. And I don't believe they're about to change that. I think that what they wanted was people who are more articulate spokespeople for the policy than people who would design a new policy. I see no sign that there's going to be any radical change in a policy, which is to assume everything's going to be all right. Meanwhile, we'll cut taxes so people have more money to spend. That is the, was their policy. I see no sign that it will not be their policy. The stock market and the whole economy, Christmas shopping, all seem to reflect the idea that Americans are simply not sure anymore. They're not sure. If it looks like a recovery, is it really? If it is really, why are there not more jobs? And it's a strange note on which to sort of bring this to an end, but it is a country today which has much less confidence in itself than it used to. And one hopes that in the new year, we'll begin to climb out of that.
Dan, thanks very much.
Sure.
Dan Shore, reviewing 2002.